Blog Talk Radio.
Welcome to The Balance, the only sports talk show that gives a well-balanced diet of sports. Host Tom Marquis and the gang are ready to break down this week in sports. This is the one place where fanatics can come together and talk about their favorite teams. The Balance brings you an analytical breakdown of sports from a fan's point of view. So sit back and get ready. It's time for The Balance.
I wish you could just shut your big yapper! Are you ready? What up? My name's Tom Marquis, El Presidente. My minions, for the next 2 hours, I will guide you through this world of maze of sports that just gets complicated more and more by the day. I enjoy being, though, your leader. 917-889-8516 is the number. Most said midget. I don't even know why I would have said midget on a Saturday morning. Not that there's anything wrong with midgets. Little people. Minions. The Minion Hotline, 917-889-8516. Hey, we love all the little people in the world. Absolutely. More than what we could say for some people in this world. We got a great show for you today. You know, that's my coin phrase. Got a great show for you today. But as always, I never let you down. It's always, I taught myself each and every week. And that's why you come here, and that's why you pay homage to our show, because this is where the one place a minion can go and get all the knowledge that they want for sports. Obviously, I'm just joking. We love you guys. You guys really make our show and put it together. Have you guys heard this? Have you heard what's going on out there in St. Louis? Well, you must be underneath a rock or don't like baseball. Either which way, I'm going to tell you. I'm going to tell you what happened last night. Yeah, that's right. The Los Angeles Dodgers head back to L.A. with the tails between their legs. Game 6, St. Louis. Let me paint the picture for you. Total domination by the St. Louis Cardinals. And how about one Mr. 21-year-old? Waka, waka, waka. Unfreaking believable. And I tell you what, just an all-around team effort. Now, my hats do go off to the Dodgers. Obviously, Mark Timmons of LA Dodger Talk has been on this show numerous times, and we certainly follow the Dodgers. So, in good sportsmanship as we exercise on this show, you know, great series. And, you know, certainly y'all don't have anything to hold your head down for. Unfortunately, you had to meet the Cardinals. My favorite team, the St. Louis Cardinals. I'm sorry. I know I'm supposed to maintain that media neutrality. But, hey, it's my show, my team. Cardinals going to the World Series. Who's gonna meet them out there in the World Series? Is it going to be the Tigers, the Red Sox? Well, we could find out tonight. Also, speaking of tonight, IndyCar gets a new champion. Who's it going to be? Is it going to be Scott Dixon? Is it going to be Elio? Could be one of those two. Certainly, I guess that's not a big surprise to us as we watched it throughout the year. And we're going to talk about that. Also, Talladega, Ricky Bobby, Shake and Bake out in with the NASCAR. So we're going to touch on that. Danica, yes, Danica has a new daddy. We'll get into that. Also, at the bottom of the hour, college football Saturday, I was honored to catch up with Ryan Wood, beat writer for the South Carolina Gamecocks down there in Charleston, South Carolina. Going to talk with us about that big matchup between Tennessee and the Cox. I love saying that. Gamecocks! I know. My minions, get your mind out of the gutter. It's too early. 917-889-8516 at the bottom of the hour. We'll be that at 9:30, and then at 10 o'clock, Greg Drake Straw, program director for 1070 The Fan, also part of the Colts Veteran Radio Network, going to join us. In case you haven't heard, in case you didn't know, there is something going on here in Indianapolis. Something's a-brewing. Something's going on. That's right. Peyton's coming home. Peyton's coming home to the house that he built. We're going to talk about that. We're going to talk about the comments Jim Mercer made. And then, of course, at 10:30, like always, Jared Calhoun and Todd the Teacher are going to join us for some fantasy football huddle, get you all geared up. And I tell you what, I'm one of those fantasy football owners that has just kind of just – maybe I haven't waved my hands in defeat, but I'm certainly – most certainly not happy where I'm at right now and where I stand. And maybe you're the same way. And, you know, it's been kind of a weird situation as far as what's going on and so forth in fantasy football. So, you know, just stay right there, guys. I promise you we'll have all the answers to include also.
What does the fox say?
Hi, I'm Mark Timmons of U.S. Water Systems, a family-owned Indiana company that sells water treatment equipment around the world. But we especially know Indiana water because our world headquarters are right here in Indy. You have bad water in your home or business? Whether you're on city or well water, uswatersystems.com makes it easy to solve your water problems. We offer videos, all sorts of water conditioning equipment, and tech support 365 days a year by certified water specialists. U.S. Water has reverse osmosis systems, water softeners, and salt-free water conditioners from $179. Visit us at uswatersystems.com.
Fast Lane Cycles Incorporated, located at 100 Gasoline Alley Suite D in Indianapolis, specializes in quality performance for your bike. A distributor for all major suppliers, we can do everything from service and motor work to customizations and insurance estimates. Give us a call at 317-247-8088. Fast Lane Cycles Incorporated at 317-247-8088.
Today's consumer spends 1.4 times as many hours using social networking sites than reading and responding to email. Marquee Solutions works with your company to build a solid social strategy. They are with you from start to finish, always there to help you navigate through the complexities of social media. Call Marquee Solutions today, 317-903-8063. That's 317-903-8063. Marquee Solutions, work with them today.
I mean, he's running around like he's on fire.
Oh, my God, help me. I don't want to die. Oh, stop, drop, and roll.
You're not on fire, Ricky Bobby.
I'm on fire.
You're not on fire.
But I'm not even sure he even knows where he's at right now.
This makes us all realize the kind of pressure these drivers are under.
Mr. Bobby, come on down here.
Help me, Jesus. Help me, Jewish God. Help me, Allah. Help me, Tom Cruise!
But how did he get down to his underwear that fast?
Tom Cruise used a witchcraft on me to get the fire off me!
Look, here, help's coming.
Wait a minute.
It's Cal Norton.
Oh, God! Please don't let the invisible fire burn my friends!
He's jumping on Ricky trying to put the non-existent fire out.
Now, that's a teammate right there.
This is going downhill fast.
It
I
is.
Think it'd be a great time to go to commercial break.
Help me, Oprah Winfrey!
Oh, never get enough of old Ricky Bobby shaking big, baby! The Invisible Fire scene. If you've never seen Ricky Bobby Talladega Nights, you got to see it. You got to take some time on this rainy afternoon in Indianapolis or wherever you're at and just take a couple hours and watch that. And in fact, I know for a fact it was on TV last night. I was watching a little bit, but cut all the good parts out. You actually got to rent that movie and watch it through and through. You know, we could just go on and on and on. I love Thin Pancakes. You know, and when we get Todd the Teacher on today, you know, he's our favorite movie quote guy of the show. He can just name the quotes off. But love Thin Pancakes, the Invisible Fire scene, pray to the baby Jesus scene. You will be in stitches throughout the entire movie. One of my favorite movies, and certainly as you can see, it's a segue into our racing segment today. And we are going to talk some Talladega. We're going to talk some IndyCar. IndyCar going to have a champion. And also, and we're going to take some time to really remember him toward the end of this segment here. But this week marks the, and I don't even want to use the word anniversary, 2 years ago we lost Dan Weldon in IndyCar. And, you know, It touched me personally. I had an opportunity to get to know Dan just on various different occasions through various different events, and of course, covering IndyCar for a good number of time that I did exclusively IndyCar, and really had a lot of time to talk with Dan Weldon and interview him, and many fun moments that we had. So we remember him this week, and Dan Lionheart, this show is for you. So we're going to talk about him a little bit later on, but certainly on the positive notes, two of his closest friends, Scott Dixon and Elio Castroneves, are going to be in the run for the championship. Can you believe we're already champion a IndyCar already? Man, time flies when you're having fun. But the big boys in NASCAR are out in Talladega, shake and bake. That's right. We have a little fun with shake and bake. Talladega Nights, Kurt Busch playing Ricky Bobby. But could he drive with a Cougar car? Is there room for the Cougar? Kurt Busch is actually going to be driving the Wonder Bread car this week. Yeah, down in Talladega. I was trying to pull that up here, but Kurt Busch going to be out there in Talladega and in the Wonder Bread car. Love Talladega, Talladega Nights. I tell you what, those of you that have never seen a Talladega race, you've got to take some time to watch Talladega. It's where anything can happen. The big one can happen. And I don't just mean the big wreck. The big fight can happen down there in Talladega. I tell you what, it is down there in Alabama. Funny story, Danica Patrick didn't even know where Talladega was when she entered NASCAR. Does that surprise you? Talladega Speedway, I tell you what, is a very fast track. And I tell you what, it's a lot of fun. And you know what? We're getting closer and closer and closer to we talk about a championship at IndyCar. We're also getting closer and closer and closer to a championship in NASCAR. And, you know, could this be a year for Jeff Gordon to bring back his opportunity to win a championship? Certainly not the young kid that we remember. Got a little gray in his sideburn. You know, I think maybe, and I've said this on the show before, and with Walter Cox of ESPN and various other people, I just think that it's getting to the point in Jeff Gordon's career that maybe he'll call it quits. A lot of people don't want to believe that or are in denial. Maybe Jeff's in denial. And maybe it won't happen this next year. And certainly if he wins a championship, I think that that would be it. I think that if he doesn't win a championship, he'll try again next year, depending on some circumstances. But I honestly, honestly think that this could be the very last year for Jeff Gordon in NASCAR. Certainly, if you agree or disagree, I'd want to hear from you, 917-889-8516. And nothing against Jeff Gordon. I'm not a Jeff Gordon hater at all. But let's face it, he's got a little gray in spots. I know we all do. but we're not all out there racing race cars. But, you know, Jeff Gordon is Jeff Gordon, and maybe instead of Wonder Bread Car, maybe we should be calling him Wonder Boy. So, you know, we'll see how that pans out there, and especially how this race out in Talladega certainly pans out. It's going to be a good race, and you can be for sure one thing in Talladega: anything can happen, and anything does happen. I tell you what, you got 11 drivers that have already cracked the 200-mile barrier in the first practice session. If that tells you how fast this track is. And you know, we look at where we are at with the standings and going into the championships. It's really, in a lot of ways, it could be anybody's battle. But, you know, you look right there at it: Matt Kenseth, Jimmy Johnson, Kevin Harvick. You know, just mentioned Jeff Gordon, Kyle Busch, Greg Biffle, Kurt Busch. Kurt Busch not going to be in the furniture racing car, going to be in the Wonder Bread car. And also, we look at some of the other usual suspects that are right there: Dale Earnhardt Jr., Carl Edwards, Joey Logano, Ryan Newman in number 12. And really, right now, we kind of think that maybe, can you believe that Jimmy Johnson's right there again? Right there again, just basically four behind Matt Kenseth. I don't know what it is. Maybe we should be calling Jimmy Johnson Super J. You know, I mean, maybe, you know, I'm not gonna say that I'm a hater of Jimmy Johnson. I've talked with him. I've met him. I mean, you know, certainly one of the leaders in the sports. And Jeff Gordon brought him up and brought him up through the ranks. But it just seems like, I don't know, maybe it's I want to call him the Yankees of NASCAR. He just seems to, I don't know how to put this, rub me the wrong way, maybe. Maybe, you know, maybe that's the privilege about being a NASCAR fan. You can be a fan of any driver that you want. Well, I tell you what, and speaking of drivers, which, you know, a lot of people are a fan, you're either a lover or you hate her. Yes, I'm talking about Danica Patrick. She's in the news again.
Her ass is so hot, I've seen it cause traffic accidents.
Well, Danica Patrick might have a new daddy. I don't think it's Go Daddy anymore. Well, somewhat. Stuart Haas Racing announced a new partnership agreement with the number 10 Chevrolet, driven by Danica Patrick. Patrick commented about the partnership, saying that the addition of a new partner for the number 10 Chevrolet is a big milestone for me, and I feel fortunate. Oh, yes, she feels so fortunate. to have Aspen Dental join GoDaddy beginning in 2014. Aspen Dental has been a partner, you know, in other races, but is just now coming to the forefront, and has predominantly been raced over there on Ryan Newman's car, which we know what's happening with Ryan Newman. Ryan Newman, we don't know what's happening with Ryan Newman. We just know that he's moving on to probably, depending on which way you look at the fence there from Danica, that, you know, and there again, Danica is one of those drivers where you either love her or you hate her.
Her ass is so hot, I've seen it cause traffic accidents.
And that would probably be the reason why you would love her, I guess. Certainly a very attractive, very marketable woman. But as far as a race car driver, I don't see it. I don't see that she is really, in a lot of ways, and we've heard people talk about this, she puts a lot of drivers in danger out there. And, you know, she's not liked by a lot of people on the circuit. And I can't say that she's one of my favorite people either. I've tried to talk to her on numerous times, and she's certainly welcome on this show at any time. But I'm not going to sit around and hold my breath on Danica Patrick to show up on our show here and defend herself. Not that she has to do that, but Danica is just really becoming a thorn in my ass. Now, you know, here's a, you know, you're talking about some rumor mill, and, you know, here's just, I'm just going to tell you what I heard. I heard that Fox Sports 1 released the new CEO of GoDaddy and heard her say them saying this, and this is supposedly from GoDaddy, that her sponsorship is just throwing money away. And I guess she was pissed and didn't take any Fox Sports questions. So I guess the breakdown will be this. She'll be one-third Aspen and two-third GoDaddy. She'll be 100% Aspen Dental in Atlanta. So there you go. Danica Patrick, you've got your Danica moment.
Her ass is so hot, I've seen it cause traffic accidents.
And you know what? Going on with the theme of Ricky Bobby, I had to go there. Had to do that. Had to go there, absolutely. Well, IndyCar, guys, IndyCar is down to it. Dixon versus Elio in Fontana. The finale is here. For the eighth consecutive year, the IZOD IndyCar Series Championship will be decided in the final race of the season. The title fight in this corner, weighing in at Scott Dixon. And at this corner, weighing in at Elio Castaneves is in a race, and that's obviously tonight out in California in the MAVTV 500 Auto Club Speedway. But unlike in previous years, when the championship tilted, there was other contenders in there, and so we've got Scott Dixon. And you know what? Who's surprised about Scott Dixon? Especially with the kind of year that he has had. Who is even surprised that Scott Dixon is there, or Elio? I mean, I guess this is one of those situations where you could say that it is a usual suspects, if you will. And certainly, Scott Dixon has earned it. And you know what? I'm not a hater of either one of those drivers. I'm excited for both of those drivers to get in. You know, we'd hoped, we had really, really hoped to have Kevin Lee on with us, and that is still a possibility here next week to do a recap. He's out there in California. We just couldn't make the connections, but no, he has told us he's going to come on, and we would love to have him on. But certainly the IndyCar title fight is tight, but the Fontana race really in itself, when you look at the race itself, should be wide open. But we also know that Scott Dixon or Elio Castroneves will win IndyCar season title Saturday out there in Fontana, California. Obviously tonight, the IndyCar is down to two drivers. Who's your pick? Who do you want to pick? You can either tweet us over at T-Balance or Pro Indy or Indian May. If you guys like IndyCar, you should go to IndianMay.com and find us on Facebook, Indian May. That we feature a lot of news from IndyCar, and certainly IndyCar is coming out with their new 2014 schedule condenses the season a little bit, but will still conclude at the Auto Club Speedway. The next year's 18-race schedule stretches from March 30th to August 30th. Now, we also know there's going to be an extra race here in Indianapolis, the road course, and I'm excited to see that. IndyCar on a road course and an oval right here. So, guys, if you're a road course fan, we got it. If you're an oval fan, we got it. If you're both, we got it. The month of May is back here in Indianapolis, and I'm excited about that, and obviously the balance is very, very much a part of that, and we're down there a lot. And we'll be talking to drivers and getting sound bites. And really, that's our backyard, our home court, if you will. So we spend a lot of time down there in the month of May and certainly interacting with the fans and so forth. There'll be a third race in California, the Toyota Grand Prix of Long Beach in the city streets. Will keep its traditional spot in the spring to be run in April 13th. Obviously, the Indianapolis 500 is May the 25th. All right, guys, you caught up on IndyCar now. And I know it seems like maybe I zipped through this segment maybe a little bit faster than I should have, and that's just because I needed some extra time here at the end here to do what I want to do here with Dan Weldon, and our salute to Dan Weldon, Lionheart champion, friend, father, racer, and a fan of the race. And so what we're going to do here, we're going to pay tribute to Dan Weldon. As you know, we lost him 2 years ago out in Las Vegas, and just a terrible, terrible tragedy that happened, especially an ambassador of the sport. And if you remember when that happened, myself and $2 Bill Josh immediately went live and was with you for a few hours during all of that. We put together a little bit of a sound bite. It runs about 11 minutes here. We're going to go to that, and then we're going to go right into a break. And then after that, Elizabeth the Greek, and we'll get into college football. Dan Lionheart, we miss you.
In his honor, it will take place in approximately 10 minutes. Thank you.
And here we are, on the track. Everybody lined up along pit lane. And there is the field of 19 cars that survived that horrific crash and made it through for the five-lap salute to Dan Weldon. When they begin this five laps, folks, we're just going to sit back and reflect with you.
Paying tribute to Dan Weldon. We lost him 2 years ago. What you're listening to is live coverage from that day of the fateful track of Dan Weldon. paying we're paying tribute to Dan Weldon, the loss of Dan Weldon 2 years ago this week here on The Balance. A few more minutes of this live coverage, and then we'll get on with our show. But we do want to take some time to remember Dan Weldon, a racer, a friend, a father, a husband, Lionheart, a champion. We miss you. That was our tribute to Dan Weldon, who is missed, and his memory goes on. And obviously, with two of his closest friends, have an opportunity to win the championship. My name is Tom Marquisel, Presidente. We miss you, Dan Weldon. We'll be right back with College Football Saturday.
Hi, my name is Elizabeth Dick. Stay tuned. My predictions are coming up right here on The Balance Online with the host, Tom Marquisel.
Hi, I'm Mark Timmons of U.S. Water Systems, a family-owned Indiana company that sells water treatment equipment around the world. But we especially know Indiana water because our world headquarters are right here in Indy. You have bad water in your home or business? Whether you're on city or well water, uswatersystems.com makes it easy to solve your water problems. We offer videos, all sorts of water conditioning equipment, and tech support 365 days a year by certified water specialists. U.S. Water has reverse osmosis systems, water softeners, and salt-free water conditioners from $179. Visit us at uswatersystems.com.
Ladies and gentlemen,
I hear you.
It's time for
the Elizabeth Go Green.
Now that's what I'm talking about.
Well, Elizabeth, we are on week 7, and last week you dropped down a bit. You went down to 5-5. Not too good, huh?
No.
No. I mean, you lost more than five games last week. You also lost something else, too, didn't you?
I'm not telling you.
You're not telling me? Oh, yeah, but if I were to ask you to whistle right now, you wouldn't know. And for those of you, you're doing pretty good. Elizabeth lost both front teeth in a matter of 8 days, 10 days, something like that. It's a short span.
I think that was like 20 days.
So let's get right into it. Let's go to the first game in the Mid-American Conference. Do you go with the number 23 Northern Illinois Huskies or the Central Michigan Chippewa?
The Illinois Huskies.
Northern Illinois Huskies. On to the Big Ten. Do you go with the Indiana Hoosiers or the Michigan Wolverines? You're going to go with the Michigan Wolverines. Another Big Ten game that has a little bit of a ranking. Daddy's considering it a bit of an upset, but we have the Iowa Hawkeyes or the Ohio State Buckeyes.
Buckeyes.
You're going to go with the Ohio State Buckeyes and keeping that streak going on. I think it's going to be the Hawkeyes myself. I'm literally looking for an upset on that one, but that's just Daddy. Okay, moving on to the ACC. Big one this week. We have two top 10 teams, actually two top 5 teams. You got a little bit of a family relation going to one of them, but do you go with the number 5 Florida State Seminoles or the number 3 Clemson Tigers?
Clemson Tigers.
The Clemson Tigers. Yeah, you have two cousins that go there, Joel and Lydia. I'm thinking that's going to be a tight one myself, but I think the Tigers will pull that off. And this one's a no-brainer. Up in South Bend, one of Daddy's favorites every year. We got the USC Trojans or the Notre Dame Fighting Irish.
Notre Dame Fighting Irish.
That's right, the Notre Dame Fighting Irish. Moving on to the NFL, first 1 o'clock game, we have the Chicago Bears or the Washington Redskins.
Chicago Bears.
The Chicago Bears. Another 1 o'clock game, we have the New England Patriots or the New York Jets.
New York Jets.
Ooh, calling the New York Jets. Move on to 4 o'clock, we have the Houston Texans or the Kansas City Chiefs.
I think it's the Kansas City Chiefs.
The Kansas City Chiefs. On to Sunday night, we have the Denver Broncos with Peyton Manning returning to Indianapolis and the Colts. Who do you go with?
Indianapolis.
Wow, you're going to go with the Indianapolis Colts, handing Peyton Manning and the Broncos their first defeat. And finally, a stinker on Monday night, but we still have to pick it. We have the Minnesota Vikings with one win or the New York Football Giants with zero wins. Who do you think is going to be the victor in that snooze fest?
Minnesota Vikings.
The Minnesota Vikings are going to win that one. And who picked those?
Elizabeth the Geek. Thanks for liking me on Facebook. Facebook.com/ElizabethTheGeek.
Over the course of history, there have been many great revolutions. The French Revolution, the American Revolution, the Cuban Revolution, and now in 2012, there's a brand new revolution for the fan. The Fan Revolution, IndyProSports.com. That's IndyProSports.com. Indy Pro Sports is for the serious Indiana fan who roots for the Colts, the Pacers, the Indians, and so much more. Make sure you check out IndyProSports.com. Be a part of the revolution on Twitter, Pro Indy, and on Facebook, Indy Pro Sports.
Fast Lane Cycles Incorporated, located at 100 Gasoline Alley Suite D in Indianapolis, specializes in quality performance for your bike. A distributor for all major suppliers, we can do everything from service and motor work to customizations and insurance estimates. Give us a call at 317-247-8088. Fast Lane Cycles Incorporated at 317-247-8088.
Our next guest taking some time to join us today. We had to catch up with him a little bit earlier this week just because everybody's schedules are very, very busy. And it's always a pleasure to have somebody on from the SEC and joining us now from Charleston, South Carolina, the Post beat writer for the South Carolina Gamecocks for the Post and Courier in Charleston, South Carolina is one, Mr. Ryan Wood. Ryan, how you doing, sir?
Hey, doing pretty good. How are you?
Fantastic. I tell you what, I really appreciate you taking some time to join us. Like I said, we don't always get a lot of time to talk to people in the SEC conference, certainly one of the biggest conferences in college football. And if you're not a SEC fan, you're certainly not a college football fan. We take a lot of time talking about the Big Ten around here, so it's always good to have a guest from the SEC here with us. We're talking with you today, I'll get right into this, about the number 11 South Carolina Gamecocks, 5-1. And you know, I guess a couple weeks ago with the game against Georgia and a loss against Georgia, and you look at that, when that happened, were you all but certain that your hopes for a national championship with South Carolina all but over?
I really was, and I think even now the national championship is still maybe a bit far out of reach. There are eight undefeated teams in the top 10 that are separating, South Carolina from that number one spot. However, when you look at just a couple weeks ago when they lost at Georgia, the way that offense looked, that Bulldogs offense looked when they were healthy, they looked unstoppable. It certainly looked like an offense that was going to be able to score however many points it was going to need to win the rest of the games on its schedule. But then injuries happened, and Georgia's had a rash of injuries just in the past couple weeks. And when you look at this past Saturday, which is really a perfect Saturday for South Carolina, not just a 52-7 win at Arkansas, which has been historically a very tough place for them to get a win in Fayetteville. But beyond that, Georgia lost to Missouri, Florida lost to LSU. Missouri lost the starting quarterback in James Franklin, a very dynamic playmaker that they're just not the same team, even though they're undefeated, one of two SEC teams undefeated. Missouri's not the same team without James Franklin. So when you look at everything that happened, it really pulled South Carolina back into the SEC East race, where they don't quite control their own destiny. Georgia still has to lose another game. When they're resembling the Walking Dead, that's certainly something that's very possible. But if they do, all South Carolina has to do is win out. So it's a very interesting race.
Well, absolutely. Now, and we look at your game last week when you were against Arkansas. And talk with us a little bit about some of the keys to that game that was really different than the game with the Georgia game.
Well, I think that you start with the defense. And last week was a lot of controversy, obviously, with Jadeveon Clowney and not playing the week before against Kentucky. And for a young team, you're always kind of interested in how they deal with something like that when they are in the national spotlight for reasons that aren't exactly positive. The defense really stepped up and played its most complete game of the season. The defense had allowed in the previous three games 51 fourth quarter points against Vanderbilt, Central Florida, and Kentucky. Not exactly a murderer's row. They obviously gave up a touchdown in the first series against Arkansas, and then it was smooth sailing after that. If South Carolina continues to get that level of defensive play, its offense has been consistently dominant throughout the season. It's going to be good enough to make some noise in the SEC to possibly get to Atlanta for the SEC championship game. Still a ways to go for any national title consideration, but certainly within its own conference, it's sitting in a very attractive spot right now.
We're talking with Ryan Wood, beat writer for the South Carolina Gamecocks for the Post and Courier in Charleston, South Carolina. Now, I ask you this, Ryan, maybe more as a fan and not as a beat writer, but, however, maybe you've got the same answer for both. What does Connor Shaw mean to South Carolina football team?
Well, obviously, he's 22-4 as a starter, which is the best winning percentage, the best record of any quarterback in program history. He's a guy that could hurt you both with his arm and with his legs. Steve Spurrier actually mentioned it directly this week that the common misconception you have with those mobile quarterbacks that can pick up yards on the ground is, well, they must be compensating for something else. Maybe they're not quite a great passer. Carter Shaw has been as good of a game manager, as good of a passer in this conference as any quarterback, and that's saying a lot when you've got guys like Johnny Manziel, you got guys like Aaron Murray. There's only two quarterbacks in the country that have 10 touchdown passes and zero interceptions this season. One is Carter Shaw. The other is Oregon quarterback Marcus Mariota, who obviously is a Heisman candidate, if not front runner. So when you look at his efficiency as a passer this year, it's been uncanny.
Well, one of the things I guess I would want you mentioned Steve Spurrier. I would hate to be in that locker room, hate to be in those meetings when things weren't going good with Steve Spurrier. And fortunately, Clowney is back in the good grace, and the offense is gaining yards really at a record pace. But this is not the time, and I think probably, and maybe this isn't the quote, but I don't think this is the time that the Gamecocks can sit back and be complacent where they're at. They can't be happy with where they're at. What is Steve Spurrier talking about in the locker room with these Gamecocks?
You know, I actually asked him this week, because they had proven now that they can play and deal with controversy, deal with adversity, well, how do they handle success? And that's kind of, as a young team with a lot of underclassmen, really that first taste of success after the blowout at Arkansas, how do they handle that going to Tennessee? And he was very direct in saying that we hadn't done it enough to get big-headed yet. They don't think that they're hot stuff because of one blowout. Now, that's the right thing to say. Obviously, actions on the field mean a lot more. It'll be interesting Saturday to see if this is a team that can you know, not overlook Tennessee with Missouri looming the next week. But certainly, he said the right things to keep this young team hungry, motivated, and focused on the right track. Hello?
Are you there?
Yes.
I apologize. You know what? It's been one of those days. Everything's, you know, once in a while I forget to turn on my mic because I do turn off my mic sometimes. So, hey, I know you're new to the show, but anytime you're sad sack, man, you just gotta man up and do your laps, I guess. I will tell you this. I was talking, what I was saying was I want to refer to your South Carolina notes from yesterday. You said Connor Shaw's defense takes too much of the blame for the struggles. How much of the blame does Connor Shaw put on his own shoulders?
You know, obviously Connor Shaw is a quarterback. He's saying that the defense took too much of the blame for his struggles this season. Like I said, 51 fourth quarter points against Kentucky, Vanderbilt, Central Florida, not exactly a murderer's row. This is after the past couple of years, defense has been very dominant in South Carolina. You look at some of the guys, Stephon Gilmore, Melvin Ingram, guys that have gone on to the NFL. It's not been that type of defense this year. Connor Shaw kind of came to his defense's defense and saying that, you know, hey, it's not all what it appears to be. It's not all just the defense playing poorly and everything hunky-dory with the offense. He said that when he first took over as quarterback, he could remember when the defense was more the dominant side of the ball. The offense was trying to find its identity and kind of struggling along that process. And he, you know, the defense had the offense's back back then, so he kind of sees it as the same type of thing, even though the strengths are kind of switched a little bit.
Well, we're talking with Ryan Wood of the Post and Courier, Charleston, South Carolina, beat writer for the South Carolina Gamecocks on college football Saturday, talking a little bit of SEC. Now, the Gamecocks go visit Old Rocky Top down in Knoxville on Tennessee. Huge game. And you would think that the Gamecocks coming in at 5-1 and the Volunteers coming in at 3-3, but they're at home. And I think if there's one of few games that Tennessee circles every year, they say we have to beat South Carolina. This year is no different. So all that is said, Tennessee is going to prepare well for South Carolina. South Carolina has to do the same for Tennessee.
Yeah, absolutely. And when you look at how far Tennessee's fallen, it's kind of amazing. Doing a story for Friday's Post and Courier, Tennessee has the same number of bowl victories, than they've had coaching changes, which is two, since Steve Spurrier came to South Carolina in 2005. In the 90s, they never had fewer than eight wins. In the 14 years since the 90s ended, they've had eight wins only seven times. It's been a completely different program. But with that said, it's always special when you go into Neyland Stadium. They hold over 100,000 stadium. And you look at what happened 2 weeks ago with Georgia, who was ranked number six at the time, beating overtime to escape with a win. It's certainly no easy place to play.
Well, absolutely. So what are some of the keys to the game, if you will, that, and I certainly don't want to, we talked with you a little bit on Thursday, which is when we recorded this interview, so I know you've got an article coming out tomorrow on Friday, which is now published. So I guess we can ask you, what are some of the keys to the game from number 11 South Carolina Gamecocks coming in at 5-1 to beat Tennessee?
Well, I think that they've just got to continue to do what they've been doing. If what happened in Fayetteville last week is any indication of where this team is right now, it should be a good Saturday. I think that obviously on the road against an inferior opponent, which they are, if you look at the polls or if you ask Las Vegas, it's always important to come out strong. If you can put them away early, that's always preferable. The longer Tennessee kind of hangs around, I think the more of a chance they're going to obviously have for an upset. If South Carolina is able to avoid doing that, if they're able to get a few touchdowns in the first quarter and really get out of the gate strong, I think that it's going to be probably a long day for the Vols.
Well, absolutely. And you guys have won five straight times out there. The 11th-ranked South Carolina Gamecocks will certainly attempt to extend their winning streak to five games on Saturday afternoon. Obviously, this afternoon, and it's certainly one of our feature games here on College Football Saturday. So we appreciate Ryan Wood of the Post and Courier Journal in Charleston, South Carolina, joining us. But, you know, really, winning streak, five straight games, if you will, I believe it's five straight games when they come in on Saturday afternoon since their loss to Georgia. Let me ask you this. What was it like in the locker room, if you could paint a picture for us? Steve Spurrier goes in there and he has to deal with this loss. How did he handle it? Was it one of those things where you just stay away from him, or is he really as bad behind the scenes as we all picture him to be?
You know, what he is interesting, which can be a challenge at times. It can be a blessing at times. But as a reporter, as a professional journalist, it is always preferable to cover a coach who is interesting, who will be blunt and honest, who will say things, not hide behind cliches and those sort of things. You know, he's certainly not averse to calling anybody out. That goes from, you know, he has called out fans before for leaving early in games. He has called out plenty of media personalities and journalists throughout his time as a coach at every stop he's ever been. But it always makes for an interesting time. And I think that when you're on a beat, it can be very easy to be kind of bogged down into the mundaneness of it all. It certainly is preferable to have a guy who will do the things that Steve Spurrier does.
Well, one thing for sure is he produces winners. And last point here, one winner that he is absolutely producing in South Carolina is Connor Shaw. We talked with him a little bit earlier in this interview. He's basically been flawless this season, completing 68.5% of his passes while yet to have to throw an interception on 124 attempts. He's passed for 1,146 yards, run for 319, and accounted for 12 total touchdowns. This, to me, sounds like a future NFL player, and maybe be thrown in the mix for a Heisman Trophy.
Yeah, you know, I think that when it comes to the Heisman, you got to have gaudy numbers. You got to have numbers that are almost like, you know, EA Sports video game type numbers. I'm not sure Connor Shaw will ever have that level of statistics. What he is you know, he's the best game manager in the SEC. Maybe not the best quarterback, certainly not the best pro prospect, but and game manager as itself, as a title, sometimes gets a bad rap. You're a game manager because you can't go out there and win games on your own or those sort of things. But in terms of making plays, the number of plays you make and the mistakes you make, it's a very important thing to be able to manage a game from that position, and Connor Shaw does that as well as anybody. Like I said earlier, 10 touchdowns, zero interceptions. The only other quarterback to do that in the country this season is Marcus Mariota out at Oregon, who is going to probably be a Heisman finalist, certainly on that right path to be that guy. When you're in that kind of conversation, Connor Shaw is certainly having a great senior season.
Well, I want to talk with you real quickly, just kind of around the SEC, and I know you used to. Did you report for Auburn as well, or did you were associated with Auburn somehow, weren't you?
I covered Auburn before South Carolina.
Okay. So, and I guess that's my point. You're certainly no stranger to covering the SEC, and got to be a little bit different for you writing about the Gamecocks as opposed to Auburn. But we look around the SEC, and really, if you're going to win a national title, you have got some national champions. And we look at Missouri, and we look at Bama, we look at Texas A&M, and even though they're maybe a little bit further down than anticipated, Texas A&M is certainly a team to contend with in the SEC. You still don't want to rule out Georgia and Ole Miss. It's just littered, if we could even the bad teams are great teams in college football, so it's really kind of hard to put the mix on that. But who do you see South Carolina being their biggest, hey, we've got to get past this team. We can beat these guys. We beat these guys. We can win our conference.
As far as the conference goes, I think Florida, November 16th, which is a home game, is going to probably be the best test remaining. And that's because, like I said, James Franklin being out as the quarterback in 2 weeks for Missouri, unable to play, that just changes the dynamic of that football team. Missouri is one of two undefeated left in the SEC along with Alabama, but they're not the same team without James Franklin. So I think that game kind of changes. Florida has probably the best defense in the SEC. Certainly the Bay could be between the Gators and Alabama for the best defense in the league. That's going to be a challenge November 16th. And then the interesting thing, of course, is that the toughest game remaining on the schedule for South Carolina is not even an SEC team. Clemson, November 30th, a big game every year, huge rivalry, a huge game for Clemson coming up Saturday against Florida State. That's probably going to be the toughest challenge left for these Gamecocks all the season. Won't affect SEC standings. It won't affect whether or not they get to the championship game for the conference. But there are a few big tests coming up.
All right, Ryan, we appreciate you taking time to join us. Ryan Wood, beat writer for the South Carolina Gamecocks for the Posted Courier out there in Charleston, South Carolina. Now, Ryan, I know you're about to become a daddy of twins. I know you've got a youngin' already, but are you ready for double your money, per se?
Yeah, it was shocking when I found that out. I'll be honest. That's one of those pieces of news where you hear and you're not quite sure you heard it right, so you need to have your wife repeat the news. And yeah, it was very surprising, but obviously a great blessing. I mean, when you talk about something like that, it's just very, very excited, and life is definitely good right now.
Absolutely, full disclosure here, your father-in-law is a colleague of mine, and I appreciate him helping us get together for this interview. But that said, I know he is one proud grandpa, and he just he cannot wait for the twins. So I just want to wish you the best of luck on that, and I want to thank you for coming on. And certainly, you're welcome at any time to come on here. Real quickly, I always ask all my guests this: is there anything that you'd like to tell us? Anything we haven't asked you about? Anything at all how it pertains to the South Carolina Gamecocks?
No, you know, it's just I think it is what it is when you think about a Steve Spurrier coach team. Offense is dynamic. The defense is kind of finding its own way. It'll be interesting to see where, you know, here in the middle of October, still early, but the teeth of the schedule, the teeth of the races, and all the conferences are starting to get heated up. It'll be interesting to see what happens in the SEC East.
Well, I know you've got certainly some affection back here in Indiana. Getting ready to go into our NFL talk here. We're going to be talking with Greg Regstraw of 1070 The Fan. But you look at Peyton Manning coming back to Indianapolis, how big of a game. That's not just any other game, but how big of a game. And you as a fan and as a reporter, what do you think about Peyton Manning coming back to the Indianapolis Colts that came out wrong. Coming back to Lucas Oil to play the Lucas Oil Stadiums. Payton's not coming back. Ursay made that very, very clear. Payton is not coming back to the Colts. I want to make that clear. But, no, Peyton Manning making his return to Lucas Oil Stadium. What are your thoughts about that?
Well, you know, I can't talk to that about that as a fan. I grew up as a Colts fan, and, you know, they were just the team that was closest. So I would say that it's probably the most emotional from a fan standpoint, the most emotional regular season game of my lifetime. I think that, you know, obviously there's some playoff games. The AFC Championship of 2006 comes to mind. There were some playoff games that certainly carried more weight and more emotion. But in terms of regular season games and in terms of raw emotion, to see Peyton Manning in an orange Broncos, well, I guess it'd be white Sunday night, in a road jersey inside the Colts home stadium is going to be, it's going to take a lot of getting used to.
Absolutely. And, you know, the Indianapolis Star this week put out a comic, and you may have seen it, an editorial comic for Mr. Varvel that it showed a dilemma of a fan. And they've got the number 18 and the number 12 in their closet, and he's standing between them, and it says the war, and the caption just simply says the war of 1812. So it's going to be interesting to see if any Colts fans are brave enough to come into Lucas Oil with a number 18 jersey on. But certainly going to be a lot of fun having Peyton Manning back at the house here in Indianapolis, Indiana. Ryan Wood, beat writer for the South Carolina Gamecocks, coming on College Football Saturday today to talk some SEC with us, and we really appreciate your time, sir, and have yourself a good week and a safe Saturday.
Absolutely. You take care.
Hi, I'm Mark Timmons of U.S. Water Systems, a family-owned Indiana company that sells water treatment equipment around the world. But we especially know Indiana water because our world headquarters are right here in Indy. You have bad water in your home or business? Whether you're on city or well water, uswatersystems.com makes it easy to solve your water problems. We offer videos, all sorts of water conditioning equipment, and tech support 365 days a year by certified water specialists. U.S. Water has reverse osmosis systems, water softeners, and salt-free water conditioners from $179. Visit us at uswatersystems.com.
Today's consumer spends 1.4 times as many hours using social networking sites than reading and responding to email. Marquee Solutions works with your company to build a solid social strategy. They are with you from start to finish, always there to help you navigate through the complexities of social media. Call Marquee Solutions today, 317-903-8063. That's 317-903-8063. Marquee Solutions. Work with them today.
Welcome back to The Balance. My name is Saul Mark Wessel, Presidente. It is Saturday. That's right. You know what's getting ready to happen. The Colts, the Broncos are coming to Indianapolis, back to the house that Peyton built. And always before our Prayed into Lucas Oil. We always like to have Sparky. And I tell you what, we're honored to have as a guest here in just a moment. I caught up with Greg Rakestraw, Program Director of 1070 The Fan, and also of the Colts Veteran Radio Network. He spent some time with me earlier this week, so we're going to get to that interview in just a moment. But joining us now is Sparky, Super Colts Fan! What's up, my brother?
What's going on, Tom?
What's going down? Is Todd with us, too?
No.
Oh, I have a different number here, too.
My friend that ran with me actually called and listened to the show.
Oh, that's okay. No problem. Not a problem. All right, Sparky. Man, I'll tell you what. I told you I'd give you a platform. I'm going to give you a platform. We're going to talk a little bit about this. And also, Jared's going to join us here at the bottom of the hour during Fantasy Football Huddle. We're really limited on time, but what we're going to talk about later on in the show here is why Peyton Manning owes Jim Irsay an apology. So go ahead, Sparky, what say you?
Why was Peyton Manning owe Jim Irsay an apology? I don't think anyone owes anybody an apology. He spoke his mind, and I think everything was misinterpreted. It wasn't like, you know, he said, you know, hey, we want you out because, you know, we want this guy in. I mean, Peyton Manning even told Jim Irsay that he wants, you know, he wants us to draft Clark. I mean, we have, you know, we have to do that. You know, I mean, nobody owes anybody an apology. I think everyone's, you know, the media is loaded up, and it's just, you know, everything's getting blown out of proportion. It's not right, and I think it's just a bunch of hype before the game. You there?
Yeah, I know.
Looks like we may have lost Sparky. I'm not sure exactly what happened there. Back to the balance. My name's Tom Marquis, El Presidente. My minions, I tell you what, is always pleased. We don't get to have him very much, but the hardest working professional in both radio, television, and any other type of media that he can get his hands on is one, Mr. Greg Rakestraw from local 1070 The Fan here in Indianapolis. Now, Greg, you're also the program director there now, right? Sports director?
Yes, sir.
See, it's hard. I try to keep track of all your great accomplishments in broadcasting, but it's hard to do sometimes. Greg Straw, 1070 Fan in Indianapolis here. Obviously, big game here in Indianapolis, and certainly we're a national show, but we focus and feature the Colts every week, and as we've done since the beginning. And a part of our Colts segment, we wanted you to come on today, Greg, and talk with us a little bit about the Colts, where they're at, where they're going, and, of course, the big topics of the day. Jim Irsay, either he can't keep his mouth shut, or when he does say something, it's taken completely out of context. And what I'm referring to is a USA Today interview, and there were some comments that were made. I'll let you summarize it. But basically, the long and short of it all is Irsay said he does not regret drafting and releasing Manning and drafting Luck to the Colts, which has created, as you can imagine, a lot of firestorm on social media and throughout the world. So as Jim Irsay makes his tweets, the world always stops and listens to everything that he has to say.
He is the most interesting follow on Twitter in the city of Indianapolis. Let's put it that way. And the only athlete that might rival him on Twitter as his own punter in Pat McAfee. But he is maybe the most news-generating owner in the National Football League. I don't think there's any debate about that anymore, even more so than Jerry Jones. And he is maybe even surpassing Mark Cuban in terms of social media and generating buzz and things like that. Some of it good, some of it bad. You know, the controversy really has stemmed from something that he has said now several times on several occasions. It was just, for whatever reason, this kind of caught the national papers and maybe got the national attention leading into the game with Denver. And that is that if you look back at the Peyton Manning, Bill Polian, and Tony Dungy era, if you say the 10-year period from 2000 through 2010, where the Colts were a playoff team virtually every year, in fact, they were a playoff team every year but one of those seasons, and the fact they only made two Super Bowls and had just one ring, you know, Jim has said, I'm a little disappointed about that. And I think that's fair to say and somewhat understandable. I don't think anybody would disagree, even Peyton Manning, Bill Polian, Tony Dungy, et cetera. What was said was the phrase, we're now building a different model around here, meaning we're going to put as much emphasis on defense and special teams as they did on the offensive side of the football. Some have viewed that as a shot at Peyton Manning. Others, and I think more follow-up commentary, have realized that maybe it was more in the direction of Bill Polian and, to a lesser extent, Tony Dungy. But obviously, being Colts and Broncos week, the national media has taken this and ran with it over the last 48 hours.
Well, absolutely. I don't personally think that Jim Irsay said anything that he hasn't said. I take your stand on that, but at the same time, it just seems to me like Jim Irsay gets himself in more problems in social media. I like what you said. He's the most interesting man in social media in Indianapolis, and of course, we here in Indianapolis, we follow him quite thoroughly and listen with bated breath on his next tweet and what he's going to say on social media and so forth. And I get that he wants to get the fans interacted. I mean, you know, you'll see him tweet things throughout Colts games, during home games. I implore you to get loud, basically. I order you, my fans, to get loud. You know, I understand that's all about, getting the fans to interact in social media with the Colts and maybe to create some buzz. But sometimes I think that Jim Irsay, of course, it's his team. He can say whatever he wants. But I think sometimes he types before he thinks.
I think a lot of us are guilty of that. I try not to be, but a lot of folks are. And I know this analogy has been made elsewhere by other people, but I'll revert back to it as well. The old Herman Edwards, don't press send line. Think before you tweet, that is now somewhat of a common refrain. No, this is the good and bad that comes with Jim being as accessible and as open as he is on social media. The fact that he is engaged with the fans on a level where hardly any other owner in sports isn't, can be a good thing. But when you are on it that frequently, when you are interacting with the people that frequently, this is what tends to happen. Now, again, you know, this was not a tweet per se that got him in quote unquote trouble. This was an interview that he had with Jarrett Bell of USA Today. He echoed very similar comments to Albert Breer of the NFL Network a week earlier after the Seattle victory. If you go back to a conversation with Mike Merritt, who is one of the very good AP writers that is based here in Indianapolis, he basically said the exact same thing during the course of the summer. So for whatever reason, I mean, I know the reason being is that these teams are playing each other this week, this is when it has caught the national attention. Mm-hmm. And the platform of USA Today got the national attention. But, again, this is something that he has said now for the better part of the last 4 or 5 months.
So really no big surprise that he said this at all. And, you know, I think Peyton Manning and Andrew Luck have done exactly what they were supposed to do and focus on the match at hand and really have not been that concerned about what Jim Irsay had to say. In fact, I think we have been more concerned about it than Peyton Manning or Andrew Luck. Big homecoming welcome for Peyton Manning. And now another question, speaking of politically correct ways to handle things, as we look at the really surprisingly tight game Jacksonville played against the Denver Broncos. At the end of that game, on many occasions, during the post-game press conference, Peyton Manning either refused or just didn't acknowledge the Colts, more or less referred to them as the next opponent. We just happen to be on the road, and our opponent, we have to prepare for our opponent many, many times. He did not actually voice the Indianapolis Colts. And I think on the other side of the fence, that did not resonate the best with Colts fans either.
Yeah, but I'm not going to give him a free pass, so to speak, on it. Maybe I am in how I say this, but that's not surprising. I've been around Peyton Manning press conferences probably 300 to 400 times in my career. And getting him right after a game or even in midweek to kind of acknowledge the emotional side of things, it's just not him. And the older that he got into his career, the less he would say about kind of the stage, the scene, the atmosphere, the buildup. If you asked him to talk about a specific player, he would do that. Say, hey, this guy's a great player. He does this, 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 and this, and this, and this well. But in terms of talking about the emotional nature of a game, Peyton just does not get into that. Now, he kind of plays the game a little bit, and he does that when he has sit-downs with the national media, say the day before a game. So, like, for example, the Sunday Night Football crew will meet with members of the Broncos, members of the Colts, on Saturday afternoon. Peyton tends to open up in those settings more than he does for the somewhat bad-sounding gangbangs that we call the press conferences, these mass interviews in front of a locker, whatever the case may be. But the fact that Peyton wouldn't talk about the Colts until kind of Wednesday's conference call, that's not that big of a surprise to me.
Well, and we certainly want to get into last week's game, but I want to look at the Manning brothers, a tale of two cities, if you will, this year. Last year, Eli Manning, at the top of his games with the New York Giants. This year, totally different story. Last year, Peyton Manning at the bottom of his game in a lot of ways, going through rehab, team transfers, a lot of things, and he ended up being pretty much at the top of his game as well as last year. So what would you attribute to the difference between the two Mannings? Is the Giants that bad, or is Eli Manning that bad this year?
He's having a terrible year. And let's acknowledge that while the brothers are similar in some aspects, they are different in others. Peyton has always been the better regular season quarterback. For whatever reason, Eli has had the better postseason runs of the two. But maybe the year that Eli is going through this year is reminiscent of the year that Peyton had back in 2001, when Edgerrin James got hurt early in the season, when the team around him wasn't very good, where it was the end of the Jim Mora era, the 4 years that he was the head coach of the Indianapolis Colts. That year, Peyton Manning threw 23 interceptions. The only year that he threw more picks was his rookie season, when he threw 28. And maybe, just maybe, he was trying to do too much because of knowing what level of talent was around him. We could be in a similar situation for Eli Manning. So I would treat this season for Eli Manning almost like I would treat the San Diego game this past week for the Colts.
Absolutely.
I think in the long term, it's kind of a blip on the radar. There's nothing I'm seeing from Eli Manning that I think is a long-term fatal flaw in his career. I just think he's having a bad year, and in part because the talent has been downgraded around him.
Well, we're talking with Greg Straw, Program Director of 107.5 FM and 1070 The Fan here in Indianapolis, and I don't think anybody knows the Mannings and Peyton Manning, especially in the Colts, through and through like Greg does. I mean, look at the team last Monday night as they went against the San Diego Chargers again against the Powder Blue, and it seemed like last time we played them in the Powder Blue, we had some issues as well. I don't know if it was the coast-to-coast trip or what it was, but the Indianapolis Colts were not on their game, and Phillip Rivers and the Chargers were able to nip at that and really create a situation that they were unable to recover from. And for Luck to throw an interception that late in the game when so much was on the line, to me, I found very surprising.
That wasn't on Luck. That ball hit Reggie Wayne in the hands. He just tipped it up in the air and ended up going right to a defensive back. Well, of the 12 incompletions that Andrew Luck had in that game, you know, five or six of them were flat drops, and that one was simply, you know, tipped up in the air by Reggie Wayne. Plus, it was late. You're trying to force the ball in there, so you know, I don't think Andrew Luck felt good about that game, but I thought he was maybe the only guy in offense or defense that could have felt okay about his performance. The only other guy that I thought had a game of quality on Monday night was Adam Vinatieri. and the fact that it's amazing that in his 18-year career, that is the first time that he has hit a pair of 50-yard field goals in the same game, and just the third time that an Indianapolis Colts kicker has done that. So Monday night, given how well the Colts had played for the majority of the season, and especially weeks 3, 4, and 5 of the season, I'm willing to say, okay, that's just a bad game. You uncorked a nasty one. Let's hope that it is not a trend. We'll learn a lot more about this football team and the way they respond on Sunday night, but that was a bad night all around for the Colts.
Absolutely, and as the Colts, and it brings us to the big elephant in the room, if you will, Indianapolis Colts, the Denver Broncos, Peyton Manning coming home. It's not just any other football game. I know it, you know it, the national media knows it, and all of our fans know it, and in the pregame, those that are going to be able to be at Lucas Oil are going to be able to see Edgerrin James, Marvin Harrison, and a tribute, and others, and a tribute made to Peyton Manning, and Peyton Manning will have to humble himself a little bit. He's going to get the standing O. It's not just any other game, but the Colts do have to prepare for this game because they do have to beat the Denver Broncos on Sunday night.
No doubt about it, and motivation will not be an issue. I don't think focus will be an issue. I don't know how much of a part of the pregame ceremony Peyton Manning is going to be. My guess is none. He'll certainly acknowledge guys like Marvin and Edgerrin before the game. But it will be a night where his focus will be on football. Maybe after the game he'll talk a little bit more about his days in Indianapolis and what it meant for him to be the quarterback of this football team for some 14 seasons. But trust me, all of his focus and all of his teammates' focus and that of the Indianapolis Colts will be about winning what is a very important football game for both teams. The Broncos are 6-0, yet amazingly they are only tied for first in their division, which Kansas City is 6-0. And the Colts, as bad as Sunday was or Monday night was, everybody in their division lost. So they are still in first place in the AFC South. So there's a lot of emotional buildup and storylines and things like that. But motivation and focus will not be an issue for either side, I guarantee you.
Well, we're talking with Greg Straw, 1070 The Fan, and 107.5 FM here in Indianapolis. Guy who's followed the Colts for a very long time, knows a lot about the Colts. So I think it's fair to ask you, Greg, what kind of a report card would you give the Indianapolis Colts and Andrew Luck right now?
I'd give him a B+, and that would have been an A or an A- before Monday night's game. You know, I think Miami's a pretty solid team, so I don't think that loss is as devastating as some made it out to be. I was a little concerned after the Oakland game, but frankly, the Raiders are a better team than I thought they would be. Terrell Pryor is a much better NFL quarterback than I thought he would be. Then you look at the way things played out against Seattle, San Francisco, and Jacksonville. Those are all A-level performances. So I'd say a B+. Thankfully for their Colts, they appear to be in about a C+ division this year because Houston has got all kind of a mess going on. They're going to start a third stringer this week against an undefeated Kansas City team. Tennessee has kind of regressed back to where we thought they would be after going 3-0. They're now 3-3, and Jacksonville is just god-awful. So a B+ is for this team to win the AFC South.
Well, absolutely. I don't know if you grade on a curve or not, but how does that change your grade of the Colts or the Broncos, for that matter, whoever wins? If the Colts win the Broncos, beat the Broncos, I think now you got to look at they beat Seattle, and they beat San Francisco, and they beat the Broncos. I think you got to look at these guys are real contenders. However, if they don't beat the Broncos and the Broncos go 7-0, you got to look at the Broncos. Perhaps maybe this is Peyton Manning's going to get another Super Bowl.
I don't really care what the Broncos do in the regular season. Peyton Manning needs to prove nothing in the regular season. Prove something in January. Everything else for them is just build-up. Get to the Super Bowl. That's really all that matters at this point of his career for Peyton Manning. And for the Colts, if they lose this game, not the end of the world, because you have 5 of your remaining 9 games will be against divisional opponents. To me, the goal for the Colts this season has been simple. They've talked about the Super Bowl, and that's all well and good. My thing for the Colts has been very much about win your division, win a home playoff game. That's what makes 2013 a great year for the Colts. And winning against the Denver Broncos is nice, but frankly, winning those 5 division games the rest of the way, that's a heck of a lot more important.
Well, I know we're all excited about it. Andrew Luck will face off with Peyton Manning this coming Sunday. And I tell you what, it could very well be Andrew Luck number 12, biggest game of his career so far, and I love the editorial that was in the paper, The War of 1812. So are you caught up in the middle? Did you see that cartoon, Greg?
Yeah, Gary Barbell, as always, did a great job on that.
Great job. So where are you at on that? Are you like going to, you know, 18, 12? Are you got that media neutrality going no matter what?
I'm always rooting for the Colts because I get a paycheck from them.
Never
I
bite the hand that feeds
well,
you, right?
But I live in Indianapolis. I work for the Colts. I'm kind of rooting for the home team.
Absolutely. Well, we just came out of our segment, and I appreciate you talking with us today, and I know we had to catch up with you earlier on in the week, but we just came out of our college football segment, and certainly we had a good time talking to Ryan Wood out of the Post and Courier in Charleston, South Carolina, about the South Carolina Gamecocks, SEC. I know more in your backyard, Big Ten. Purdue is just really blowing it up. But can IU fans, when I say blowing it up in the bad way, they're boiling down. They're not boiling up. And IU, even though they got beat last week, I think are very competitive within the Big Ten this year. Again, tell of two cities as you look at college football in the Big Ten.
Yeah, Purdue's just not very good. I mean, that's the skinny of it. And they knew that going into the season. I don't think anybody thought they'd be as bad as they are. But I think they got the right guy for the job. They're playing a lot of freshmen. This will get better in 2014 and 2015. And for Indiana, it's real simple. You've got three very winnable home games against Minnesota, Illinois, and Purdue. You win those, you go to a bowl. That makes this a very good year for Kevin Wilson.
Absolutely, a very good year for Kevin Wilson. Greg Straw of 1070 The Fan, WIBC, and Program Director 107.5. Greg, I'm a man of my word. I could talk to you all night long, but I promise you I'd keep you to a window. I always like to ask all my guests, is there anything that you'd like to share with us that I've not asked you, or anything you'd like to talk about with the Colts or IU, Purdue, anything that's on your mind? The government shut down,
no,
anything.
I think we're in good shape, my friend. I appreciate the time.
All right, Greg Shaw. Greg, where can people find your work and your masterpieces on social media?
1070thefan.com is the website where you can find my college sports blog. Of course, you can listen to me on the Colts Veteran Radio Network, 107.5, 1070 The Fan, and on Twitter, very simple, @GregRakeStraw, first name, last name.
All right, Greg, thank you.
Hi, I'm Mark Timmons of U.S. Water Systems, a family-owned Indiana company that sells water treatment equipment around the world. But we especially know Indiana water because our world headquarters are right here in Indy. You have bad water in your home or business? Whether you're on city or well water, uswatersystems.com makes it easy to solve your water problems. We offer videos, all sorts of water conditioning equipment, and tech support 365 days a year by certified water specialists. U.S. Water has reverse osmosis systems, water softeners, and salt-free water conditioners from $179. Visit us at uswatersystems.com.
Over the course of history, there have been many great revolutions. The French Revolution, the American Revolution, the Cuban Revolution, and now in 2012, there's a brand new revolution for the fan. The Fan Revolution, IndyProSports.com. That's IndyProSports.com. IndyProSports is for the serious Indiana fan who roots for the Colts, the Pacers, the Indians, and so much more. Make sure you check out IndyProSports.com. Be a part of the revolution on Twitter, Pro Indy, and on Facebook, Indy Pro Sports.
Welcome back, welcome back, welcome back.
You like that, don't you?
It's about to be a lot of fun today.
The weather's been nice down here, huh?
Yeah, it has been. You know, it's
beautiful.
This is. You know, it was chilly last Sunday. Chillier last Sunday, absolutely. But it's been nice.
This ain't no 50 degree right here now.
Well, they get this place cold before the game, don't they?
It was cold.
It's 22 degrees out. It's bleeding.
So much for no rain, huh?
No. All right, welcome back, my minions, to The Balance, our final segment. My name is Tom Marquis, El Presidente. What a great show we've had for you today. I tell you, really enjoyed talking with Ryan Wood from down in Charleston, South Carolina, breaking down that South Carolina Gamecock and University of Tennessee Volunteer game. and also Greg Rakestraw of the Colts Veteran Radio Network talking with us about that big game, the big elephant in the room. Excuse me, the Colts and the Broncos are, I mean, I tell you what, Peyton's back in the house that he built. We're going to be talking with Sparky here in just a moment. I know we had to cut him short just a while ago. And Jared Calhoun is going to be joining us for Fantasy Football Huddle. And hopefully Todd the Teacher is going to be joining us for Fantasy Football Huddle as well. But before we get into all of that, in case you hadn't heard, certainly a huge loss to the NFL family. Former Orioles, or Oilers, who remembers the Oilers? Raise their hands. I do, which used to be the Tennessee Titans, and Saints coach Bum Phillips died at age 90. And you know what? Maybe I'm showing my age, but in this situation, I'm proud to show my age. I tell you what, Bum Phillips was always the guy on the sidelines with the cowboy hat. I'm sure you remember him. You've seen him in all the NFL films. Bob Phillips helped turn the Houston Oilers into a playoff team back in the mid-70s. And again, I know I'm dating myself, but I actually remember the mid-70s. And certainly was a beloved figure in the state of Texas and died Friday at the age of 90, according to his son. And I was looking at Wade Phillips' tweet. Wade Phillips, at son of Bum. Bum is gone. Heaven loved and will be missed by all. Great dad, coach, and Christian. So certainly we know who Wade Phillips is the son of Bum Phillips, and certainly no stranger at all to the NFL in his own right. After coaching high school for many years, Phillips spent a number of seasons coaching in college, including, he was an apprentice under Bear Bryant, at Texas A&M before moving to SMU and Oklahoma State. In the late 1960s, Sid Gilman hired Phillips as the defensive coordinator for the San Diego Chargers, and that's when Phillips was one of the first in the NFL to establish the 3-4 defensive scheme. So, Bob Phillips, we miss you. Certainly an icon in the NFL community. And so joining us now is Jared Calhoun for Fantasy Football Huddle. Jared, how are you doing, sir?
I'm terrific this morning. Ready to talk some fantasy sports and fantasy football, ready to get our lineup set for this weekend.
And we're certainly absolutely going to get right into that. And we're going to also talk about your blog, Why Peyton Owes Irsay an Apology. And also joining us now is Mr. Sparky. Sparky, are you there?
Yeah, I'm here.
And I think we do have another caller. I want to check this out. Hi, caller. Who's this?
Hey, what's up? My name's Elwood. I'm from Indianapolis. I live on the canal. Can I chime in on that about Irsay when it's appropriate?
Oh, absolutely. Go right ahead. We'd love to hear your thoughts.
Well, honestly, I don't get what the big deal is. Everybody wants an apology out of Irsay for just telling it like it is. I mean, I've been a Colts fan since 1984 when I was a little kid, and they announced it on our school PA that the Colts were coming, and I got up on my desk and cheered and totally converted to the Colts. But Irsay is right. Peyton let us down year after year after year. He only won us one Super Bowl ring. I think the guy just told it like it is. But because everybody's got this warm fuzzy because Peyton's coming home, that he got wrapped in the mouth. But I don't think people should get wrapped in the mouth for telling it like it is. And just because there's a warm fuzzy nostalgia about Peyton coming home, I mean, it might be an example of bad timing, but there is certainly no apology, you know, owed. Peyton has done very well for himself at the Broncos. He may win a Super Bowl. I mean, he's financially in better shape than he ever was. His endorsements are still going. I don't think anybody come out wrong. And we got Andrew Luck, the next big thing, because I know one thing. In 5 years, Andrew Luck's going to be playing, and Peyton Hinton. Irsay made the right decision.
And I tell you, one of the things that we like to talk about here on the show, and Sparky, who's on with the Super Colts fan, obviously down there in full costume, will be down there this weekend.
Me too.
And one of his favorite phrases is, "We'd rather have a young colt than an old bronco." But this kind of goes along the lines with you, Jared, on the blog that you posted, and we posted up on all of our websites already. And basically, what you say in your blog here is why Peyton owes Irsay an apology. So, Jared, I know you just heard this caller. Do you want to chime in on his thoughts?
Sure. I didn't in the blog I go in to say, you know, it might be a media conspiracy that, you know, I've never heard Peyton come out and say bad things directly. I've just heard things here and there in the media. But at the same time, I've never heard Peyton come out and say, hey, you know, except for his farewell speech. You don't see him saying, hey, you know, I'm really happy about what happened. I got paid millions of dollars to play football in Indy. Yes, I know I did great things for Indy, but he was rewarded greatly for those things. So as far as we actually helped him get his next job, you know, so that's definitely something that I feel Peyton should be very grateful to Indianapolis and to Anthony Mercer about.
Well, with several hundred million comes great responsibility, and with that responsibility comes gratitude. Caller, do you have anything else for us?
No, I'm pumped for Sunday's game. Got my Andrew Luck jersey ready to go. Got my number 12 hat. Yeah, no, I'm hoping the Colts win. If Romo can almost take Peyton down, I know Luck almost can. So keep Trent Richardson moving. Work on that defense, and we're going to get them. And you know what's funny? I read the neatest article in the Muncie paper. A lot of the guys on the Colts have never got to sack Peyton because you weren't allowed to do that in practice. You get kicked out. So it's a lot of these guys' first chance to ever get to sack Peyton. So let's hope that novelty works to our advantage.
Absolutely. Well, Colin, we appreciate your time, and thanks for listening.
Let's go, guys. Let's go Colts.
Let's go Colts. And you know, there you go. That's the chime that we hear throughout Indianapolis. You know, as great as Peyton Manning was, you know, certainly it's a new era and it's a new time. And maybe, you know, this whole story with Jim Irsay has gotten some legs. So I'm going to go ahead, and I know we have Todd the teacher, and we have Sparky, and we have $2 Bill Josh and Jared Calhoun with us as well, guys. So we're going to go around the horn here. But Sparky, it's your turn up, because I know that we had to cut you short earlier because we had to get to our interview with Greg Regstraw. So Sparky, I want you to go ahead and finish on what you were talking about, and then we'll get to $2 Bill Josh and Todd the teacher, guys, and we will get into fantasy football huddle right after this. So go right ahead, Sparky, go ahead.
So I was just saying that, you know, I don't think anyone owes anybody an apology. I think it's totally blown out of proportion. And, you know, Irsay has done, you know, a great job, and Peyton, you know, said, you know, if we have a chance to draft Luck, you know, we need to draft him. And, you know, I totally understand, you know, Irsay's comments about, you know, we're changing everything on this team. We're, you know, we want more Super Bowls. And, you know, it kind of is a disappointment when you have, you know, Peyton Manning probably one of the best quarterbacks ever, and we only have one Super Bowl. You know, I mean, you can't put that on him. I mean, you know, there's 52 other players out there, and, you know, coaches. I mean, you got to put that on everybody else, too. I mean, it's not just Manning. It wasn't just Manning that we only did. We only got one Super Bowl. You know,
but we're talking with Spark, Super Colts fan. Obviously, downtown, every home game in full costume is ready to go. And certainly, you've seen him and all of his crew out there. And if you've not seen him, you've not watched very much many Colts games or been down there, you definitely can't miss him. Take some time and go up there and get your picture taken with him. We'll get back to you in just a minute, Sparky. Also, one of our new team members here on the balance who kind of is just an all-around kind of guy with the show here, former semi-pro basketball player. We call him Todd the Teacher. Todd, how you doing, sir?
All right. How you doing?
Fantastic. Now you heard some of what was talking about, and obviously, you know, this has been all over the national media, all over social media. And you told me in a text last night you're ready to let us have it. So let us have it, Mr. Todd.
With the whole thing with the Manning and Irsay, it's the bottom line is a business. I mean, it had to be done. They both understood it. And, I mean, it worked out for both teams, and just leave it at that. Now, the thing where we're actually going to dedicate something or do some kind of a thing for him, I don't like that. I don't agree with it. I mean, if he's done playing or retired, that's fine. Or if he's, like, at the end of his years, maybe his last year or something, that's fine. But right now, he's still playing well, and they're undefeated. Why would we honor somebody that's still playing? And in his mentality, a professional athlete's mentality is, I don't care what happens. I can walk across that line. I'm playing. And so it's kind of a – as I know it's not a slap in the face because he deserves it. I love Peyton Manning, but it's kind of a slap in the face of the Indianapolis Colts players right now because they're going out there, and this is their job. This is what they get paid to do. And we're honoring a guy that we're supposed to hit within minutes. I just don't agree with them honoring him at this time when we're playing them at our place, and he's still beneficial to their team.
Well, absolutely, and I'm sure that there is a timing. Maybe this the timing wasn't perfect for this. And in a lot of ways, the city's rolled out the red carpet for Peyton Manning, and we've had a governor's proclamation and a mayor's proclamation. And you know, I see both sides of the coin. Obviously, Peyton is missed very much here in Indianapolis, and one of the greats. But you're right, Todd. We have a job to do, and that job is to beat the Denver Broncos. And Peyton Manning's job right now, unfortunately, I won't call him the enemy, but he's certainly the opposing quarterback, and he needs to be treated as such. So, you know, maybe there is some merit to the argument that honor should wait for another time, maybe when he's retired, you know, like much of what we did with Edgerrin James and Marvin Harrison will be
exactly
at the game tomorrow during the pregame series as well. All right, $2 bill, Josh, I know you're biting at the bit here, and then we got to get into some fantasy football talk. We are really behind on the clock here, guys, so I want to get that fantasy football talk in here. So $2 bill, Josh, you have the last word on the Broncos of the Colts. Go.
I'm going to take a completely different approach. Colts fans, go to Walmart, go to Target, go to Meijer, go to Kroger. I don't care where you go. Go buy Crybaby Peyton Manning, Crybaby John Fox, and pacify his friend to the game tomorrow. Hopefully Peyton Manning will find one he likes and he'll stop crying about it. As far as goes, Jim Murphy, I'm a Colts fan. Peyton Manning, you're in our house. I don't think we should honor you. And I think the Colts are going to blow Peyton Manning out tomorrow. And I look for there to be an unsportsmanlike foul against the Colts for a cheap shot on Peyton Manning sometime in the game.
Well, I hope that doesn't happen, but unfortunately, that does have to be it. Sparky, Super Colts fan, where are you going to be at this weekend? Where can people find you? Get your autograph, get your picture, and where are you going to be at leading the charge into Lucas Oil Stadium?
You know, I've been told that it's just like a mini Super Bowl down there, so I'm going to be everywhere. I'm not wearing my suit. I'm wearing my luck jersey and the rest of my stuff. But if you want to find me on social media, it's Sparky Super Colts Fan on Facebook and Twitter. It's Super Fan Colts 2 and hashtag Bring the Noise.
All right, we'll get that up on our social media as well. Real quickly, say it one more time. Sparky Super Colts Fan, is that it?
Sparky Super Colts Fan, and Twitter is Super Colts Fan or Super Fan Colts 2.
All right. Sparky, you're more than welcome to hang out and listen, but we got to get into some fantasy football talk, and I know the only thing you got to say about fantasy football is Andrew Luck. So have yourself a good day, sir, a good weekend, and be safe.
You too.
All right. I always love talking with Sparky Super Colts Fan, guys. And you know, I appreciate Greg Raystraw taking some time out of our schedule, obviously program director for 1070 The Fan and part of the post-game show on the Colts Veteran Radio Network. Well, Mr. Jared Calhoun, we got your blog up there, Why Peyton Manning Owes Jim Irsay an Apology. Guys, go there. We've tweeted it. Get out there and click the link and read that and comment and give us your comments there. We've got to get into some fantasy football talk, myself, $2 bill Josh, and Todd the teacher. And, guys, we have got to get into this Stardom Incentives and make it happen as quickly as possible. So we're going to start with you, Jared. Jared, give us the keys to this week's fantasy setup, fantasy lineup, outside of, hey, my player's on a bye. Who should you be starting? Go ahead.
Well, there's a lot of players that come to mind when we talk Stardom Incentives this week. I think two of the top young emerging receivers are two guys you need to be looking at. You need to be looking at Terrence Williams. You need to be looking at Keenan Allen, getting both of those guys in the lineup. You know, you need to have JerMichael Finley. You need to have picked up at least Jarrett Boykin to replace Randall Cobb. somebody's got to catch up to catch some extra passes out there. So keep a lookout. There's a guy that plays for the Packers, and he is a Jimmy Graham mold. I don't know if he is as tall as the Jimmy Graham, but they're talking about getting him involved. His name at the moment, but he's definitely a guy you want to look for as a backup tight end, like Boykin or something like that, or I think it was in search of the beast. So keep a lookout for those guys. If you're reading through stuff, just flag that. So there's a couple startup sit-ins for this week. If you're really tight on running backs, if you're really tight on quarterbacks, start looking at those guys on a matchup, like the time of the season where you start playing the matchups, which defenses are leaky. You're not just rolling with that guy you drafted. I'm not rolling Eli Manning out. This week I'm in a deeper league, and I'm going to run with Mike Glennon this week and just believe in what he was doing, last weekend or 2 weeks ago, throwing it to Vincent Jackson for a couple touchdowns, his new tight end, Tim Wright.
All right, and joining us now also around the corner, around the clock here, you guys, and I know we typically get into some discussion about this, and we will here, but I do want to get everybody started and set them. And Jared and Josh, I know you're in a leagues with me. Jared, you're in two leagues with me here with The Balance and over at work at Gannett as well. And Josh, you're on the $2 bill. Josh, I think I play you this weekend, so better bring your A game. Actually, you really don't have to. You can actually bring your C game. I can really help you play it and do just fine. But $2 bill, Josh, start him, set him real quickly. Go.
You got to say Kobe Fleener. I'm sorry, Fleener. I'm a huge Kobe Fleener fan. I know Tom is, but dude, you can't catch football. I look for Andrew Luck to stop throwing the ball to Kobe Fleener. It's another guy you got to say. You got to say Eli Manning. I don't know why Tom Coughlin hasn't benched him. And for a guy to start, I would go with Josh Freeman. I think he's going to have a huge debut with the Vikings.
You know, I've caught between that. I do have Josh Freeman over in the league that another league that Jared and I share. And I'm caught between that because I tell you, I'm a little nervous and apprehensive about that. I can agree that maybe it'd be a big game, and I'm on the fence. I started him. But I'm on the fence. But we do have another caller. Hi, caller. Who's this?
How you doing? It's Lenny in New York.
Hey, this is who?
I have issue with a couple of things. First of all, Kobe Fleener has been dropping a lot of passes. Denver has only given up double-digit fantasy points to a tight end once, and that was Julius Thomas. I forget which game it was, but it was only one time. The Giants, I got to tell you something, up against Minnesota, I think Reuben Randall's going to be out of the picture. You know, the 15 interceptions that Manning has thrown, 6 were intended to Reuben Randall, who's always running the wrong routes. If I'm playing, especially if I'm playing the daily game, I'm going heavy on Knicks, heavy on Cruz, and heavy on Eli Manning. What do you guys think about that?
And thank you there, caller from New York, and we appreciate that. And obviously, we're coast-to-coast, and we're trying to get your fantasy set up. So we're going to start with you, Todd, the teacher, because I know it's your turn up. So you heard the caller's question here, so go ahead.
Yeah, I agree. I really think Eli's going to come out, and I think he's going to have to throw to Knicks a little bit more, and Victor Cruz, and even the tight end. I mean, I see the tight end being brought into a lot of it with Minnesota's defense. I think he's got to use a lot of the tight end, so I even push him up a little bit too, more than Reuben Randall. But I just think Eli's going to have a huge game, Monday Night Football, prime time. He's got to come out of the slump sometime. Has to. He's a Manning, so we'll see.
Well,
Am I still on? I don't know.
You're on.
Yeah, one other thing. Minnesota cornerbacks have not intercepted a pass this year. They got 7 linebackers. I mean, the 7 passes intercepted by linebackers, and 2 by Harrison Smith, who's a pretty good safety, and he's out. So the cornerbacks have not intercepted a pass. And this guy, Chris Cook, is one of the cornerbacks guarding Knicks or Cruz. 26 games without an interception. So I'll let you guys go. Thanks for having me on. But today is Eli. Tomorrow's Eli's day.
All right. Thank you. And what was your name again?
Lenny.
Lenny from New York. All right, Lenny, I appreciate it, buddy. You have yourself a good weekend.
You too. Thanks.
Always good to have calls from the minions from all over the nation. And Lenny from out there in New York certainly probably speaks a lot, and we'll get to that. But I want to quickly get Todd, your stardom and set him, and then we could go around for some discussion here, guys, around the clock. We could talk a little bit about Lenny's call again as well, because, Jared, I know you probably have some things to tap in on that. But, Todd, go ahead. Who do you start? Who do you set this week?
I'd have to go with Eli Manning. I would start Andrew Luck and Peyton Manning. I think it's going to be a high-scoring game Sunday night with all the festivities going on and all the stuff on the airways. And I would probably start every Bronco and every Colts. Now, Fleener is kind of touchy, but I think he's going to come out. I think he's going to play well. He's going to have to, and I hope they let Andrew Luck throw a little bit more. I mean, take the handcuffs on him, let him throw. Quit worrying about the run right now. Get Richardson set, but let Luck throw. That's the only game I can think of right now. That's the only one that's on my mind.
All right, I understand. All right, Jared, feel free to chime in. And now we're back in open discussion there. I had to push the accelerator down a little bit so that we could get through everybody, start them and set them. So, Jared, go ahead. Certainly feel free to talk about what Lenny in New York was talking about and the questions about Eli or anything that maybe you want to hone in on. Maybe there's some key injuries. I know that you had some injury issues this past week as well.
Yeah, absolutely. I'm not going to be rolling out Eli Manning anytime soon. I know that the Vikings are bad, but I think that the Giants are worse. Their running back situation is not getting any better. So maybe Eli can come out and have a great game, but after he put up some awful stat totals this year, he had a great week against Dallas, but he's thrown like an average of 3 picks a game. Like, I just can't I understand it's the team. I understand. He's on pace to set a record for interceptions. That's all I'm saying. So I can't put him out there, especially with, maybe them not improving. They've got still Brandon Jacobs in the backfield, who had a good game last week, but I'm just not sure. So I'm looking for a little bit more than what he can provide as far as fantasy potential goes, I think. So he could put up 35 points, but I think it's more likely you see another 12 out of Eli Manning this weekend. So, go ahead.
No, go ahead, Jared. Go absolutely. Go ahead, sir.
I was just going to bring back up to mind here some of the players that I think you should keep an eye out. The guy I was talking about for the Packers is Brandon Bostic. His name had eluded me earlier. He's that basketball Jordan Cameron / Jimmy Graham, Gronkowski, big type guy who could just jump, really athletic. Beforia, experiment, that we saw last weekend with him catching 3 touchdowns. I'm not sure that they're going to go to Brandon Bostic, but if you've got an open spot, maybe you're a little weak at receiver, take a look at that. They're going to put Michael Finley out wide a little bit. This guy can get some play time. I don't know about this week. I don't know if I'd be starting him. Unless I was in the deepest of leagues and hurting for a tight end. But Zach Ertz, another guy that's coming up, the Eagles are trying to get the ball in somebody else's hands. They've been throwing to Jason Avant, I think he's a good pass catcher, but I don't think he's anything, special. So that's another guy to look out for. And Gronk's coming back this week. So make sure who drafted him, who's been waiting, get him in your lineup.
All right, absolutely. Jared Calhoun, and joining us also is $2 Bill Josh and Todd, the teacher, Fantasy Football Huddle. I want to make sure that I kind of get in some of my starts, guys. I certainly like a lot of, here's the thing. I like a lot of different players from different – I wish that when I say to start somebody, I wish that I could actually have the ability to do that. When playing in a deep league, and if you play in a deep league, like Jared and I do 16 teams deep, you realize that you have to have a good draft. And so, sometimes you just think that you do, but you just don't, and then you're kind of stuck out there in no man's land like I am. Here are the balance a little bit better, but some of my starts of the week, certainly I would want to start the Patriots defense at the Jets. The Patriots do rank mediocre, 15th in fantasy points. after 7 weeks, but this is a good week to start them. Defense has combined to score fifth most fantasy points against rookie quarterbacks, and we know that's one Geno Smith. I like the Ravens defense, the Vikings defense. You know, if you're looking for a sleeper defense, I would certainly look at the Chargers defense at the Jacksonville Jaguars, and also Buffalo Bills could have a huge, huge week this week. And, you know, you might want to set the Texans defense and the Browns defense. And I hate to say it, guys, but you got to set the Colts defense against the Broncos. All right, $2 Bill. Josh, chime in about anything that you like real quickly. We're running out of time here. We've only got about 3 minutes left in the show here. So $2 Bill Josh, go ahead. Any thoughts you want to say about fantasy football this week?
As far as Eli goes, I think he looks like a guy who knows he's mentally done, and I'm surprised he hasn't been benched. So enjoy a good weekend of football, and Tom, my baseball team will see you next Wednesday.
How about those Cardinals, guys? How about those Cardinals, Jared? Woo! Yeah! Guys, our Cardinals are going to the World Series.
Yes,
sorry, I know we got off topic there. I get very distracted with donuts, beer, and Cardinals. And, you know, I can mix them all together and have a perfectly fantastic evening, of course, with my lady. but
what does the fox say?
Let's give it up. All right, Jared, Todd, the teacher, you're up. Go ahead.
Yeah, basically, I'm just going to end it with another quote. Hopefully the Indianapolis Colts offensive line, and I'm going to bring in a little bit of basketball with it, is I hope they don't stand around and watch the paint dry. Little Hoosiers.
Hey, we got to get a movie quote from you real quick before you go, sir. What's the movie quote of the week? You know, it is Talladega, and we did some Talladega thing with the invisible fire and all that. So you can't go with is there room for the cougar. You got to go with a completely different movie quote.
Okay, well, I just did the one with my picket fence. Don't get caught watching the paint dry. Hoosiers.
That's right. Sad sacked on my own show. I love it. All right, Todd, the teacher, man, we'll catch up with you next week. I hope you have a great week, sir.
You too. Take care.
Hey, buddy. All right, Jared, you got 1 minute. Sum it up, buddy. Week 7, fantasy owners, you got 1 minute. The clock is ticking now.
All right. Well, here we go. CJ Spiller owners, look out for this week. I know that his ankle's been bothering him, but he has lit up the Dolphins in his career. So if he gets the ball, look for him to break a couple big runs. He's going to be out there. Keep your eye out on Reggie Bush situation. Drake Bell is now a hurt backup. And if you have Le'Veon Bell by chance, get him in your lineup. Eddie Lacy roasted the Baltimore defense last weekend. But keep an eye out there. Get those running backs in. Keep an eye on the Steven Jackson situation. Jacquizz Rodgers is your man for now.
All right. Jared Calhoun, I know you can find his work and his masterpieces on www.theballanceonline.com. www.indieprosports.com. We've shared it on all of our social media. He's explaining why Peyton owes Jim Irsay an apology. Guys, we want to hear your feedback. Thanks to all of our callers. Thanks to 1070 The Fan and Colts Veteran Radio Network. Also, thanks to Brian Wood of the SEC Beat Reporter for the South Carolina Gamecocks. And guys, thank you, most importantly, my minions, for joining us today. Next Saturday, we do this thing all over again. Remember, don't drink and drive. It isn't cool. And we are still looking for an answer to this question. So if you have an answer, please tweet us right away. Keep balance or comment on our Facebook page, The Balance. We need an answer.
What does the fox say? What the fox say? What the fox say? Happy, happy, happy ho. Happy, happy, happy ho. Happy, happy, happy ho. What the fox say? Yup, 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 yup.
Join us next week for The Balance. In the meantime, check us out on Twitter, T-Balance, or Facebook, The Balance, or online at www.thebalanceonline.com.